ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभाम् व्यास शंकर मध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्ताम् वंदे गुरु परंपराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः ओम सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति 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 ओम भद्रं कर्णे भिश्रुणुयाम देवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवागंसस्तनूभिः व्यशेम देवहितैर्यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ओम शांति 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 प्रज्ञानांशु प्रतानै शुप्रतानै स्थिरचरनिकर व्यापिभर व्याप्य लोकान् निकर व्यापिभिर्व्याप्य लोकान् भुक्त्वा भोगान् स्थविष्ठान् भुक्त्वा भोगान् स्थविष्ठान् पुनरपि धिषणोद्भासितान् कामजन्यान् रपि दिशनोद्भासितान् कामजन्यान् पीत्वा सर्वान् विशेषान् स्वपिति मधुरभुं मायया भोजयन्नः माया संख्यातुरीयम् तुरीयम् परममृतमजम् ब्रह्म यत्तन्नतोऽस्मि मयत्तन्नतोऽस्मि यो विश्वात्मा विधिज विषयान् प्राश्य भोगान् स्थविष्ठान् पश्चाच्चान्यान् स्वमति विभवान् ज्योतिषास्वेन सूक्ष्मान् शास्वेन सूक्ष्मान् సర్వానేతాన్ పునరపి. శనై స్వాత్మని స్థాపయిత్వా సర్వానేతాన్ పునరపి శనై స్వాత్మని స్థాపయిత్వా. హిత్వా సర్వాన్ విశేషాన్ విగతగుణగణపాత్వసో నస్తురియః సో గౌడపాదాచార్య హాజ్ ఓన్లీ కమిట్మెంట్ ఆఫ్ ఎస్టాబ్లిషింగ్ ది నాన్ డ్యువాలిటీ ఆఫ్ ది రియాలిటీ. The non-duality being real. Therefore, there is a need for him to refute other views of people of other schools of thought who believe that atmas are many. In that list, first he picks up Sankhya philosopher. Of course, all these philosophers are great thinkers. We bow to them with due respect for all that. But where certain limitations only we understand here. So this atmas are many according to Sankhya philosopher because he does not know how to account for, how to understand the differences in the experiences of various individuals. So because we talk about the difference in jivas, exalted jivas of heavenly people and mediocre jivas who are living this world of human beings. I mean, jivas of inferior caliber. So varieties of jivas we're talking about. So, even though all these jivas are discussed, they're all relatively real. In fact, they're seemingly real. They're as though. Really speaking, there's no jiva. There's no such a thing called jiva at all. If there's no phenomenon called jiva, jiva is just a name, temporary qualification attributed to the only atma, obtaining within the enclosure called body mansions complex. That's all. So the seeming appearance of only Atma, we understood very well. And we explained this with the example of space and part space. And the Purapakshi, as the Purapakshi Sankhya's doubt was this. This Prakriti is one. Atmas are many. The Atmas are, the Purushas are many. The one Prakriti has the Parārthyam, has the status of being existent for the other, especially the Atma, many Atmas. This Prakriti being inert in nature, being activated by the existence of Atma, the consciousness, and contributes, acts, for the sake of the Atmas, in terms of giving them experience of pairs of opposites, various enjoyments, including moksha, bondage, etc. There is this, if Atmas are not many, then this, it is not possible to validate the existence of even validate the pararthyam, validate this prakriti's existence, purpose of existence. But he, Shankara Bhagavatpada, according to Gaudapada Acharya, refuted stating, prakriti's pradhanam's pararthyam does not require the plurality of atmas. Mere existence of atma, the consciousness, enough for prakriti to enjoy its pararthyam, to enjoy its status of being active for, actually contributing for the other atmas. That he explained. Remember all this? Okay. Let us go to the part where we left yesterday. Nacha anyat purusha bheda kalpanayam pramanamasti sankhyanam. Page number 403. We just read yesterday. We started reading, I think. Again, there is no other appropriate evidence for Sankhyas in proving the plurality, for their assumption of plurality of atmas. Is it clear? So, parasatta matrameva chaitcha etat nimitti kritya swayam badhyate mutyate cha pradhanam. So, according to them, very important point to be noted here. According to Sankhyas, now who has bondage? Who attains freedom? Prakriti. They say prakriti is inert. But if prakriti is inert, how can inert prakriti have bondage or freedom? But they say prakriti by itself, the word prakriti is a feminine gender word. So I happen to say her. No. Prakriti, the pradhanam, is inert by its nature. The inert prakriti by itself, badhyate mucchete cha. It gets into bondage and freedom. It gets bound, it gets liberated by itself. How? Para satta matrameva nimitti krutya. Mere existence of the paraha, the absolute, which is of the nature of consciousness, okay, as the instrumental, having mere existence of the absolute, which is of the nature of consciousness, as the instrument, having it as instrumental, this prakriti by itself gets bound and liberated. Is what they say. Therefore, Gaudapada Acharya says here, parahacha upalabdhimatra satta swarupena pradhana pravruttau hetuhu. Pradhana pravruttau hetuhu. See, the paraha, listen to me, paraha, the absolute, here, the absolute atma, paraha, upalabdhiswarupaha, which is of the nature of consciousness, upalabdhiswarupaha, satta matrena, by its mere existence, becomes the cause, the source of activation of prakriti. Existence of atma in the form of consciousness itself is enough for the activation of the Prakriti. Thereby, once Prakriti becomes activated, Prakriti can give whatever it has to give. So, kena chitta, na kena chitta viseshena, not because of any other specific reason of plurality of jivas, atmas, etc. So, activation of Prakriti does not require plurality of the atmas. There's no specific special reason. Okay? In terms of the plurality of atmas for the activation of Prakriti. Pradhana pravruttau, in the activation of Prakriti, pradhanam, parascha upalabdi matra sat, parahacha upalabdhi matra satta swarupena hetuhu. So this absolute, or you can say the atma, obtaining in the form of consciousness, the existence of that consciousness itself is enough for the activation of the Prakriti. There is no specific reason, special reason required here. Especially the plurality of the atmas. Okay. So, and having said that, here, kevala moodhataya eva. Kevala moodhataya eva. Purusha bheda kalpana vedartha parityagascha. So here, Gaudapacharya, Shankara Bhagavatpada says very clearly, moodhataya eva. It's only because of sheer delusion. There is assumption of plurality of atmas and also negligence, rejection of the Vedic vision, Vedic teaching. Vedartha parityagaha. Vedartha parityagaha literally means what? The meaning of the Veda. Meaning of the Veda means what? The vision of the Veda. The teaching of the Veda. Isn't it? Vedartha parityagaha, rejection, negligence of the Vedic teaching, Vedic vision, and also purusha bheda kalpana, assumption of difference in atmas, assumption of multiplicity, plurality of atmas is purely because of delusion. Kevala moodhataya eva. Kevala moodhataya eva. Only because of sheer, pure, mere delusion. Is it clear? With this, Gaudapadacharya finishes his deal with the Sankhya philosopher. Okay, here we have to, before we enter into the other teaching, we have to understand here. Listen to one thing. We have to see how, what we need to understand, what is the lesson we have to understand from Gaudapadacharya's teaching and also from Shankara Bhagavatpada's commentary, what should be our understanding in this context. Of course, Gaudapadacharya's aim was to make us see there is no plurality of jivas, I mean atmas. And whatever reason he gave also, he was negated. Okay? It was negated by him. So we need to understand. See, atmas are many. According to him, atma is of the nature of consciousness, all pervasive. Many atmas. And now the bondage is not, bondage and moksha, atma does not have. Prakriti gives one thing. So prakriti cannot, prakriti by itself being inert, itself being dependent on atma to be activated, how can prakriti give, you know, contribute for the moksha bondage of atma? One thing. There is something clear understanding. Second thing, Atma being the source of activation of Prakriti, Atma cannot be the receiver of bondage and moksha. Okay? One. Atma cannot be the receiver or experience of bondage and moksha. Bondage and freedom. Point two. Third point. Then they also, it's also said very clearly by them, even here we can see, Swayam Bhajyate Muchyate Cha. Okay, this Sankhya's view of Prakriti being subject to bondage and freedom. Listen to me carefully. This Sankhya's view of Prakriti or Pradhanam, the matter being subject to bondage and freedom, is again revealed clearly in some well-known texts, such as even Sankhya Karikas. Understand? Again, the question is, if Prakriti is inert by itself, how can Prakriti get bound or free? Bondage is not there for Prakriti, and it bondage or freedom is not possible for Prakriti also, because it's inert matter. These are the two points you have to remember. Now, what's an important lesson? If we say so, Sankhya philosophers do not have appropriate answer here. Okay, what is the then? How can we account for the difference in the experiences? He has no answer. He thought Atmas must be the assumption of plurality of the Atmas. That has been negated. So, the answer, clear answer is there with an Advaiti. In Advaita Darshanam, there is a clear answer. Of course, according to Advaita Darshanam, of course, it's a very clear that Atma is one and the only reality, and which is of the nature of consciousness. And it is asangaha, absolutely untainted, untouched by anything. And it is of the nature of, we understood, Atma is of the nature of the subtlest, nature of subtleness. Therefore, it's all pervasiveness. Therefore, it is the nature of changelessness. Therefore, it is free from actionlessness. And therefore, it is neither the cause nor the effect. It is independent reality. That's okay, fine. How can we understand the reason for the differences in the experiences of pairs of opposites? Some people are happy, some people are unhappy, some people get bound, some people are able to attain, discover liberation. So, varieties of pairs of opposites I've experienced. And here, of course, in Advaita Darshanam also, in the Vishnu, in Advaita teaching also, there is Prakriti. But Prakriti is of the nature of inertness. Prakriti is dependent on this Atma of its existence. But this Prakriti, which is of the nature of inertness, is in the form of body, mind, sense complex. And Advaitin has another beautiful phenomenon. What is that another phenomenon? Atma, Anatma, Prakriti. What is the phenomenon? That is called manifestation or reflection of consciousness. Reflection or manifestation of consciousness. is the manifestation. Reflection is the another phenomenon. So this prakriti, I mean, matter in the form of body, mind and complex is inert by itself. But when there is a reflection of consciousness in this material product, then this inert body, mind, sense complex becomes conscious, sentient and functional. And this manifestation of consciousness or reflection of consciousness formed in the body, mind, sense complex. With this body, mind, sense complex together is said to be Ahankaraha. Ahankaraha or Ahankara Jivaha. Now what is Ahankaraha, Ahankara Jivaha? The individual being is here the reflected or manifested consciousness with body, mind, sense complex is equal to what is Ahankaraha Jivaha. Therefore, this Ahankara Jivas have what now? Birth, death. They go through the experience of pairs of opposites. They also subject to travel. All these are possible. Even though all these are possible, all these are not real. Birth is not absolutely real. Death is not absolutely real. Experiencing, going through the experience of pairs of opposites also is not absolutely real. Travel is not absolutely real. All are seemingly real. They're all apparently real. Is it clear? They're all as though. So birth of this, birth, and the death, and the changes, perhaps experience of pairs of opposites, all these are seemingly real. They're seemingly there. They're really not there. And it is possible for this Ahankara Jiva to discover this Ahankara Jiva being not real. When this discovery is possible, this Ahankara Jiva is capable of discovering this Ahankara Jiva status being not real. By discovering Adhishthana Chaitanyam being the reality. Adhishthana Chaitanyam means what? Pure consciousness implied by the term Atma or Brahman being the very source of existence. Adhishthanam. By discovering it is possible for this jiva to discover freedom which is already there. As what? In discovering what is real, what is as though. It discovers freedom. This discovering freedom is what? Attainment of freedom. That's why whole teaching, how as individual one should live one's life. So this reflection of consciousness converts the inert body, mind sense complex into a conscious body, mind sense complex. In the sense, the formation of reflection itself converts what? Converts the inert body, mind sense complex into a conscious being. But still we don't take anything as real here. Is there a birth? We do not say there's no birth at all. Is this birth as though? As there's a death as though? And there's experience of pairs of opposites as though. There's a travel as though. Everything is as though. This is the answer. Okay. Now we'll move on to the next. So Sankhya philosopher has gone. And he is resting. And then now we have to just take the Vaisheshika. Okay. Before actually we enter into the actual Vaisheshika, let us understand certain things. Because so much is there to understand. But we are not going to really try to understand the whole thing. Let us try to have a little of the overview of Vaisheshika. Just to, for us to appreciate the Bhashyam here. Vaisheshika Sutrani. Vaisheshika Sutrani. There is a book with the title Vaisheshika Sutrani. It is this book with the title Vaisheshika Sutrani is the basis for Vaisheshika Matam, Vaisheshika system of philosophy. And the author of this system happens to be Maharshihi Kanadaha. Kanadaha. He is revered as the founder, propounder of this system. Vaisheshika Matasthapakaha Kanadaha. Even though Vaisheshika system of philosophy and the Nyaya system of philosophy, these two are different systems, still they are very close to each other. Of late, these two systems are studied and analyzed together as one school also. They call it Nyaya Vaisheshika system. Because of the closeness, there are subtle differences there. Anyway, but here there are objects which constitute this universe. Every object here is constituted of parts. Parts. And every part can be divided into countless number, any number of parts. How long can you divide a part? Any part can be divided and divided until you arrive at the Paramanu. The parting, the division of parts should culminate in what? Arriving at the Paramanu. That is their understanding. Anyway, so this, in this system, they say that the whole universe is constituted of Sapta Padarthaha. All that is here in this universe can be divided into Sapta padarthaha means seven categories. In English, it's seven categories. So for this Vaisheshika, in Vaisheshika school of thought, Paramanuhu, the atom, is the subtlest thing. So we can say our Kanada Maharshi is the first atomic scientist. Of course, they very much join hands with modern scientists to some extent. Okay, so here, what are those seven categories? Sapta padarthaha. First, dravyam. When I say dravyam, it is a singular word. What equally English word? Substance. And there are, okay, dravyam, substance. Now, second one, gunaha, attribute. Even though I use the term singular word, there are also many, okay. Dravyam, substance. Second category is gunaha, which is attribute or quality. The third one is karma or kriya. Karma or kriya means action. The fourth one we have samanyam. Samanyam literally means common, okay? So samanyam means common, but here it means common property is samanyam. Then property or feature, then viseshaha is this fifth category is viseshaha. So viseshaha is a special property. Special property. Then the sixth one is samavayaha, inherent relationship, inherent concomitance, inherent, inseparable connection, inherent relationship, inseparable concomitance is samavayaha. The seventh category is abhavaha, absence means non-existence. These are the sapta padarthaha. So if you ask Vaisheshika, if you ask a modern scientist, he'll say everything is energy. Others will say everything is consciousness. Vaisheshika will say seven categories. Sapta padarthaha. Substance, dravyam. So here, we are not going to really a lot bit understand everything, little bit of everything. Dravyam, we say navadravyani, there are nine substances. What are they? Five elements. When you say five elements, all elementals come under the category of substance. Dravyam, is it? Five elements. In the five elements itself, space comes. But again, space is mentioned. Panchabhutani, five elements, space, air, fire, water, earth. Again, we said time factor. After time factor, again we mentioned space. Subtle and gross. Not everything else. Space. Then, mind and atma. Five elements. Time, space, mind, atma. These are the nava dravyani, nine substances. So atma also comes under the category of substance. You have to remember this. Unnecessarily we had to, we are very clear already, isn't it? But you have to know this. Skull, we had to get confused to get rid of confusion. That's why sometimes Swamiji used to say before, when very young I was very crazy, you know, I was preparing for some Shiram exams in Chennai and all those things. Amma, give up. I was all Mimamsa, those lot of the other books, you know, small books I had to study for, I think. Leave all that, confusing. I remember why he was saying all those things. Once Purusharthan Nischaya is there, if Shraddha and Shastram is there, just be with Shastram, it's enough. But it is all for, it's called Sthanu Nikhanana Nyaya, isn't it? Dig, put the post, we have done it. Now it's, no? Make it, yeah, now we have to make it firm. Put stones and sand and kit it again, make it firm. Like this, all for this. No, non-duality is the reality. We have to say that for this, there are so many other people, they all have their own different views. They will come and talk to you. Oh, all you're confused, okay? You're possibly getting confused. No, you must say no, no. You let all those things be there with due respect to their contributions for the betterment of the world. Of course, a lot of thinking has gone above to all of them, but for moksha, this is the satyam. That is why mukshunam. It is, the teaching is all for mukshus. If you are interested in studying physics, chemistry, then you have to study. This all, we have people studying all these different systems of philosophy. Really, abundance of thinking has gone in. So we respect all of them. They're all rishis only. Anyway, so nine substances, understood. Now, because Atma is one of the nine substances, Atma Dravya Padartha, therefore Atma is what now? Matter. Okay? Vaiseshika's Atma is matter. So, Atma as matter is of the nature of inertness. And Vaiseshika's Atmas also are many, many Atmas. Many inert atmas. Okay. We'll understand it a bit later on. Now, let us understand next, gunaha. We are going to really elaborate on those things, just to understand. And the gunaha, Vaiseshika talks about 24 gunaha. Chatur vimshati gunaha. We are not going to really elaborate on those things, okay? Just quickly go ahead. 24 gunas. And we can say, gunas means, you know, dharmaha, adharmaha, punyam, papam, experience of pairs of opposites, pain, pleasure, hatred, anger. All these also come under gunaha. But here, of the 24 gunas, Atma uniquely has 9 gunas. 8 gunas. 8 attributes are uniquely Atma's attributes. We'll see that later on. Okay, we'll be understanding it. Okay, this is the second, as we understood. Now, it means other than those eight unique attributes are not there on the part of other substances. Because space or air, etc., they don't have anger, jealousy, hate, that's why. Specific attributes. Okay. Now the third, let us go to third one. The third padartha, third category is action. So, now you can understand these gunas and karmas, activities, the second and the third categories actually belong to substances only. The first category, as said to be substances alone, has the second and third categories, gunas and actions. Of course, it is, they talk about four types of actions and all those things, but we just go ahead with that because we have to come to this point, book. Now, fourth one is samanyam. Little bit of understanding of each samanyam. See, the samanyam is nothing but common property. What is common property? When we see substances, no, with the similarity. Suppose we see many cows grazing together. All cows are seen. Then when you say all those cows have one common property, it is cowness, gotvam. All human beings have what? Manushyatvam. Whether African or Indian or Asian or European, doesn't matter, isn't it? Human being, it's a human beings, all of them have what? One external appearance, isn't it? Manushyatvam, humanness. Common property is a jati only here. We can say, but here's some common features. Suppose when we take, there are so many windows, they're all substances. All these windows are substances now. Isn't it? Now we see the similarity of substances. Similarity in substance we see. And then, what is similar in all of them? When we discuss what is similar in all these substances called windows, there is windowness, gavakshatvam. The similar feature here. We can say jati also, but here, when living beings we can say jati, here non-living beings we can say here, common property, isn't it? So there's so many chairs. We have no chairness. So common feature, discussable, understandable, common property of substance which are similar. That is samanyam. Then we have viseshaha. Vishesha is easy, you know what? Visesha is just the paramano, unique property, a special property in everything is what? Paramano. The beauty of paramano is every paramano is distinctly separate from every other paramano. This visesha. Okay. And then paramanus are countless. Countless. How many paramanus are there? Countless. Anantaha. Anantaha paramanavaha. The sixth category is what? Samavayaha. The samavayaha. I already told you, inherent relationship, inseparable connection. See, the connection can talk only with the substances. See, the substances, there is inseparable relationship, connection between substances and attributes. You can say beautiful flower or blue flower. Attribute is inseparable from the substance. Okay, the inseparable connection between substance and the attributes. Inseparable connection between substances and the actions. Inseparable connection between substance and common feature or common property. And the inseparable connection from between substance and the special property. These four factors, okay, constitute what? Samavaya. So substances and attributes, substances and, you know, attributes, the common property, substances and the unique special property, and actions. Attributes, actions, common property and the unique property, special property. These are all inseparable, non-separate from substances. These four factors are said to be what now? Samavayaha. Okay. Now last. Abhavaha. Abhava, will not forget. Just now you finished your class, Brihadaranyaka. No, Samaji. You must have heard of this. Is it? Praga bhavaha, pradhumsa bhavaha, anyonya abhavaha, atyanta bhavaha. Four. Can you talk about something is there's some non-existence. Describing non-existence. Prior non-existence, posterior non-existence, mutual non-existence, and absolute non-existence. Okay. Now, with these categories, okay, with these This is the briefest note on Vaiseshika teaching. The very brief things. Now, with these categories, how does the creation happen? Because they think creation is real. Yeah. They believe. See, there are two views, okay? This Paramanu is inert. Paramanu is inert. But this Paramanu, one Paramanu can come close to other Paramanu. Paramanus can come together, may not come together also. They may come together, may not come together. But when two Paramanus come together, okay, so the beginning of creation happens when Paramanus come together. Beginning of creation happens when two Paramanus come together. They may not come together at all. They may come together because they're inert. But when the beginning of creation happens, when two Paramanus come together, then what causes the Paramanus come together, isn't it? So that is where implicitly they just mention Ishvara. Thank God they're not Anishvara Vadinaha. At least they don't explicitly, directly talk there is Ishvara. No. Indirectly Ishvara. Okay. There is Ishvara in the form of Adrishta Punya Papam. ఈశ్వరాయనం అదృష్ట పుణ్యపాపం అండ్ ఇంపెల్డ్ బై ఈశ్వరాయనం అదృష్ట పుణ్యపాపం సంహౌ ఇనర్ట్ పరమాణుస్ కమ్ టుగెదర్ అండ్ క్రియేషన్ బిగిన్స్ అండ్ క్రియేషన్ హ్యాపన్స్. బిఫోర్ ది క్రియేషన్ దెర్ వాజ్ నథింగ్, నథింగ్ వాజ్ దెర్ ఫర్ వాట్ ప్రాగభావ. వెన్ ఆఫ్టర్ ది క్రియేషన్ కమ్స్ ఇన్ టు ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్ ఆఫ్టర్ సమ్ టైమ్ క్రియేషన్ గెట్స్ డిస్ట్రాయిడ్. ఆఫ్టర్ ద డిస్ట్రక్షన్ ఆఫ్ ది క్రియేషన్ దెర్ ఇస్ ప్రధ్వంస అభావ. Don't worry, all these things will become, you will easily negate and we will understand what we need to understand later on. Pradhamsa bhavaha. Got it? Okay. This is the creation. This according to them. Now, one more thing. This Atma, you know this Atma, and mind, two substances. Remember now, Atma and mind which come under the category of Dravyam. Remember substances? Atma and mind, when, okay, combine. There's a time Atma and mind combines. Then it is waking state. Atma and mind combine, it is waking state. The combination of mind and Atma contribute for what? Generation of attributes. Atma mind combination contribute for generation of attributes in Atma. Therefore, in the waking state, Atma is Sagunaha. Atma is Sagunaha in the waking state, having attributes. And for which Atma must combine with mind. In deep sleep state, there is no Atma and mind do not get combined. Therefore, no generation of attributes happen. Attributes not get generated. Therefore, Atma is Nirgunaha, in sleep. Okay. Been only listening so long, we have not heard at all of the word consciousness. I have noticed. Until now, I have not mentioned the word consciousness. So, in Vaisheshika system of philosophy, okay, there's no clue of consciousness. But there is mention of knowledge. See, their knowledge actually is what? Attribute of Atma. Knowledge is one of the attributes of Atma. There's a unique attribute of Atma. And this knowledge, which is looked upon as the unique attribute of Atma, is actually something like what? Our cognition, our vritti jnanam. What we say in something like vritti jnanam, our cognition, is their unique attribute of Atma. And they believe this knowledge, which is an attribute of, unique attribute of Atma, is twofold, two types. knowledge in the form of experience of the object. Knowledge in the form of remembrance of the object or memory of the object. Therefore, they say there is Vishaya Anubhava Rupa Jnanam. Vishaya Anubhava Rupa Jnanam. Vishayanubhava Rupa Jnanam. Then Vishaya Smriti Rupa Jnanam. Vishaya Anubhava Rupa Jnanam is knowledge in the form of experience of an object. Vishaya Smriti Rupa Jnanam means knowledge in the form of remembrance of an object. Okay, with this understanding, so much, I tell you, to make it very little is very difficult. But we don't need this, at least some understanding we need to enter into this bhashyam. That's why. Okay, now let's see the bhashyam now. No, Shankaracharya says, already the plurality of Atmas has been already negated. The view of Atmas being many has been already negated. So Vaisheshika's one point has already been negated. But he has his own reason why he says. Therefore he says, Yetu. Page number same, 403. 403, same page. Ye to ahuhu. The relative pronoun ye stands for the people, philosophers of Vaisheshika system of philosophy. Vaisheshika school of thought. Ye to ahuhu. These, the people of Vaisheshika school of thought, they say, what do they say? He says, Vaisheshika dayaha, means the people like Vaisheshikas, all of them, Icha dayaha, Icha adayaha, Icha means desire, etc. Desire means what? You can include all that. Desire, likes and dislikes, hatred, anger, fear, anxiety, etc. All these.
These are the attributes of the Atma.
But here they say, being attributes, Swamiji, they say, Atma Samavayinaha, Ichchadayaha, Atma Samavayinaha. And so that's why we taught, already understood why the word samavaya. Okay, yeah. Atma samavayinaha means all these attributes such as desire, etc. When I say etc., because they don't give big list. The etc. should be taken for, we know what all attributes, you know. Likes and dislikes, anger, fear, hatred, jealousy, all this, okay. Everything, punyam, papam, pleasure, pain, pairs of opposite, all are attributes only. Therefore, ichchadayaha, atma samavayinaha, iti. They think what they say? All this desire, etc., all this, atma samavayinaha means they are inherently, inseparably related to the atma. They have inherent, inseparable relationship with the Atma. I mean, they inhere in the Atma. Now the question is, he is asking us, is correct? Immediately what we already have been listening to Vedanta. Isn't it? We know we have been listening what? The knower is Atma, abstract, formless reality, which is ever of the nature of pure consciousness. Therefore what? That is what? Atma? Does consciousness have all this? No. We should say no. Therefore he says, Tadapi Asat. Their view is also incorrect. The people like Vaisheshikas, who hold on to a strong view that all these attributes, such as desire, etc., are the inherent and the Atma, the inherent inseparable connection with the Atma, Tadapi Asat, it is also not correct. Tadapi Asat is also wrong. So, Padmanabhaji very beautifully said, that does not hold good. Nice way of saying. Instead of saying, this shows, isn't it? That Asat means that sort, not correct. But we don't want to displease people. So, they all have to learn from Shastra. Even something unpleasant also, but we had to tell. But you had to say it without offending. Non-offensive language. Okay. Smriti hetunam samskaranam apradesha vati atmani asamavayat. Why it is wrong, he says. Come on, this Vaisheshikas take this, all his attributes to be inhering in Atma. It is not correct. Why it is not correct? He says, Smriti Hetu Nam Samskaranam. See, what is that which causes the memory? Smriti Hetu. We all have memory. What is it which causes the memory? Samskaras. Our experiences, in day-to-day experiences, contribute for mental impressions. We store. The mental impressions become memory. Okay. Therefore, Smriti Hetu Nam Samskaranam Apradeshavati. See, Atma is said to be, Atma is Apradeshavan. Apradeshavan means what? Non-location. Okay. Pradeshaha means the locus. Atma is not the location. Why? Atma has no limbs. Atma has no parts. One indivisible, undivided, partless, limbless whole. Therefore, in that Atma, Apradeshavan Atma, Apradeshavati Atmani, Asamavayat, due to the non-inherence of these samskaras in the Atma, which is not the locus. So there cannot be, smriti is also not possible. If we say all these attributes inherent in Atma, what does it mean? My God, we are connecting everything to Atma. Okay? The samskaras must be connected to the Atma. Samskaras must inhere in the Atma. Then, the memory also should be inhere in Atma. Only then, attributes are all possible. That is what we have to say even then, if we had to come to the point. So Smriti Hetu Nam Samskaranam Apradeshavati Atmani Asamavayat. Okay. once you connect the these all these attributes to the Atma, you have to connect memory to the Atma. When you have to connect memory to the Atma means you have to connect all the samskaras to the Atma, and it is not possible. Why? Because Atma is not a locus. Apradeshavati Atmani Asamavayat. Then Atmanaha Sanyogat cha Smriti Utpattehe Smriti Niyama Anupapattihi. See, now he is saying Smriti Niyama Anupapattihi. Smriti Niyama Anupapattihi. There will be problem with the very, very rule associated with the Smriti. What is the problem here? He says, Atmanaha Sanyogat. If you connect this Atma with memory, and then it will result in what? Connecting the Atma with also samskaras. Thereby, it goes against the very, very rule pertaining to the memory. Smriti Niyama Anupapattihi. Now we have definite understanding of the rule pertaining to the memory. What is that which causes the memory? Isn't it? We have that. Then Yugapadva Sarvasmriti Utpatti Prasangaha. Otherwise, what will happen? Otherwise, if we take Atma to be the seat of all attributes, then Sarvasmriti Utpatti Prasangaha, all memories will rise simultaneously. There will be the situation of having all simultaneous rise of all memories. If we say Atma is the source of, Atma is the seat of attributes. Atma being the very dravyam, even if we say dravyam, Atma for them is, they say something important here, isn't it? If we say, it will take us even to go against the rule pertaining to the rise of memory. Anyway, what we can understand, the very idea of seeing the Atma which is Asamavayi, because there is no, Atma is always no connect according to the Advaita Shastram. Atma being consciousness, that's who we have to see. We don't see from their standpoint. Atma being pure consciousness, Atma has nothing in Atma. Atma has no samavaya, no connection, relationship with anything. No connection. Therefore, Atma, because of its asamavayat, because of this non-relationship, and being non-locus, apradeshavati, it is not possible. This is one thing, one reason he gives. Okay. Now, another one, the next point, we'll see that. Nacha, once it becomes, let me make it very clear, then we come back to this. Nacha, bhinna jatiyanam. Sparshadi hinanam atmanam mana adibihi sambandha yuktaha. See, they think what? They say, bhinna jatiyanam.
404 in English.
See, bhinna jatiyanam sparshadi hinanam atmanam mana adibihi sambandha na yuktaha. He says, it is not at all appropriate to say that even this atmas. Atmas have connection with these attributes. Binna jatiyanam sparshadinam. Sparshadinam. Atmanam mana adibihi sambandaha. These atmas, the so-called atmas, okay, do not have what now, the touch, etc. These attributes are not there. Sparshadinam, heena atmanam, sparshadinam, sparshadi heenana, sparshadi heenanam atmanam. Can you see that now? Sparshadi heenanam atmanam. All these atma which are devoid of sparsha, etc. Heena means without. Sparshadi heenanam atmanam mana adibhi sambandha na yuktaha. Okay, what he says, sparsha etc. Means sparsha means touch. Touch etc. belong to different category. Binna jatiyaha. Binna jatiyaha means the different belong to different category. And those which belong to different category, and now how can they have connection with Atma? That's what he says. Sparshadi binna jatiyanam sparshadi hinanam atmanam mana adibhi sambandha na yuktaha. So it is not appropriate at all. Which means Atma being connected to the mind itself is not accepted. Atma is not at all connected to the mind. Because Atma is devoid of all these factors such as touch, etc. Therefore, it can be connected to the mind. So, manadibihi sambandha. Connecting this Atma, thinking that Atma is associated with the mind, etc. itself is not appropriate. He talks from the standpoint of Advaita. He says, na dravyad rupadayaha gunaha karma samanya visesha samavayaha va bhinnaha santi paresham. See, the word paresham there means Advaitis. Paresham, that means Advaitis. The word paresham come across, it means Advaitis. What he says, see, Atma has connection with all these touch, etc. That is, so Atma cannot combine, join with anything. Atma can combine and join with anything. Atma cannot combine with the mind also. Therefore, anything associated with the mind also, Atma cannot combine. That's what he means here. Then, dravyad rupadayaha gunaha. See, the attributes such as color, etc., form, etc., belonging to the substances. Attributes belonging to the substances. Actions belonging to the substances. All these substances, they are different from the standpoint of Advaitins. Paresham bhinnaha. They are not connected. See, according to Sankhyas, they are all connected. According to Advaitins, they are not connected. There is no connection. Atma has no connection with the mind. Therefore, Atma has no connection with the memory. Atma has no connection with the even samskaras. Atma has no connection with any of these attributes, such as desire, etc.
per Ayurveda, it says jnanadi upalabdhi karanam atma. And to have the knowledge, it says atma manasa sanyujyate mana indriyena indriyena arthena tad jnana.
See, there are different ways of presenting. The context here, the context is, of course, wherever, in whichever discipline, whoever says anything, there's a standpoint. From which standpoint, what is made clear? That is very important, isn't it? But in this context here, the aim is to establish the oneness of the Atma. Atma, there's only one vastu which alone is absolutely real. There's no second thing at all here. Second thing at all here. Which means, and we have to account here, because there is experience of duality. This duality is not real here. How can we understand this duality is not real? In spite of experiencing, because our only thing is, because we are experiencing. Because duality is experienced, we cannot deny the duality here. It's very difficult to deny our experience and perceptions. In spite of perceiving duality, in spite of experiencing duality, we have to understand it is not real. It is not real. So that's why the effort is here. He's been teaching us here how it is not real, isn't it? It means what is objectively real is only the non-duality. The non-dual reality is the only reality. That is something to be arrived at. In this context here, and so because the whole Jagat has been negated, that's why I'm telling you, the whole Jagat has been, creation has to be negated to establish the reality being non-dual, non-duality being the real reality. The creation has been negated means you have to understand Atma, prove that Atma is not the cause. But to prove Atma is not the cause, there's no such thing called creation at all. We have to refute the people of different views who hold on to the view that creation is real. How are you going to, isn't it? It means why they say creation is real, and they have their own theory of creation. So Sankhya has his own theory of creation, and Vaisheshika has his own theory of creation. And how they present their creation theories. That is what we try to. He says, see here, Shankar Bhagavatpada is very careful. Just taking only, just where we have to knock off. We don't need to go to the whole thing. We did not study the whole Vaisheshika system. We do not understand the whole Sankhya system. We don't need to understand where they differ exactly, where they become problem for us, isn't it? We say, see, for them, Atma is inert. And taking the inert matter is Atma. Inert, Atma is inert, but Atmas are many. And Atma is all-pervading, all-pervasive. All-pervasive, inert, and many. And Atma has connection with the mind. The first point. That's what, now in the very here, the first aspect, he wants to knock off the first connection with the mind. Where does the Atma has connection with the mind? Atma has no connection with any mind. And because they say Atma has connection with the mind, and they talk about what? The origination of attributes. How these attributes come into existence. Okay, what we say, okay, all these emotions, it can be desire, anger, this parts of opposite, all this knowledge, everything we say. So all these attributes means what? When thoughts rise, the cognitions rise, and they look at these cognitions, the thoughts which rise in the mind to be attributes of the Atma. Of course, it is very clear for us. It's all mind for us. What is said to be mind looked upon as attribute, they all these attributes which form the mind, which part of the mind, are looked upon, mistaken to be the attributes of the Atma, which is inert Atma. Attributes of the Atma. So here we have to show the diff. Of course, he's going to say later on how completely wrong. It's a Atma cannot be inert matter that we are going to understand later on. But initially, even here itself, he was wants to say, the mind. We have to explain it, isn't it? So then that is why I basically little I introduced in the beginning how what they mean by saying how the attributes. When is Atma Sagunaha? When is Atma Nirgunaha? Isn't it? Atma in sleep Nirgunaha. Why Atma is Nirgunaha in sleep? This I explained already. I mentioned before I brought you to this portion. I'll explain this again anyway. So Atma is Nirgunaha in sleep. Why? No attributes. There are no attributes in Atma. See, they think attributes are generated in the Atma. Attributes get formed in the Atma. Then Atma is Sagunaha. For the Atma to have the attributes, Atma must be combined with the mind. Combination must happen. So when the mind and Atma combination happens, it is waking state. Then there are attributes get formed in the Atma. Then Atma is Sagunaha. When there is no combination, okay, I don't know what they mean by Atma not combining with the mind, we don't say, then there are no attributes. The Atma is Nirguna. In sleep, Atma Nirguna. In what is Atma then? What is Nirguna Atma? They just stay the state of experience, isn't it? No thoughts. Thoughtless condition of the mind. In Nirguna Atma. There is no clear understanding of what Atma is. So here Gaudapada Acharya, what he says in the very, Shankara Bhagavatpada explains, actually he takes one verse. Na samprayujyante tadvad jivaha sukhadibhi na samprayujyante. One verse, only 1/5 karika. His father, he's going on. Isn't it? What is the karika? Remember the karika. Sarve jivaha sukhadibhi na samprayujyante. Jivas are not affected by these sukhadibhi, the pairs of opposites. Means the big difference, isn't it? Atma has pairs of opposites generated in him, whereas atmas are not touched. So jivaha na samprayujyame, all jivas are one atma. The jivas are seeming appearance only. All jivas happen to be only one atma. That one atma happens to be pure consciousness, is not tainted, touched by any of these pairs of opposites such as sukham, etc. We have to be very clear. So atma is not at all touched, tainted. The very possibility of experience of pain or pleasure is because presence of the Atma. It means existence of the Atma is a blessing in disguise. Atma exists, therefore experience of pain is possible, experience of pleasure is possible. The possibility of experience is the existence of the Atma. That's all. Atma is what? That's why we say asangaha. In fact, if we say Atma Asangaha, this may be very, very clear. Atma is Asangaha. Atma is Asangaha. But whereas these people don't say Asangaha. Atma for them, that's why first he says, Vaiseshikasya, Vaiseshikadeha, Ichadayaha, Atma Samavayinaha iti. Atma Samavayinaha means what? All these attributes such as desire, etc. have inherent relationship, inseparable connection with the Atma. See, the Samavayaha means inherent relationship, inseparable relationship. Samavayi means what? That which has inseparable connection. So, desire, etc., all these attributes have inseparable connection with the Atma. మీ బండి ఆత్మకం ఫ్రీ. ఓకే, దట్ ఈస్ వై ఇన్ ది వెరీ బిగినింగ్ ఇట్ హాస్ టు బి సెడ్ వట్ ఈస్ దట్ ఈస్ అసత్. వై హ్యావ్ టు గో బ్యాక్ టు దిస్ బికాస్ లెట్ ఎస్ నాట్ ఫర్గెట్ వాట్ వీఆర్ డూయింగ్ హియర్. దిస్ పర్టిక్యులర్ టెక్స్ట్ ఈస్ బీయింగ్ రెడ్ నౌ స్టడీడ్ హియర్. Our focus is on understanding the non-duality being the reality. Our interest is not in understanding what is ignorance and what is knowledge and what is desire, we are not interested in understanding what these emotions are, what these attributes are. Our interest is not in any understanding the desires, not in understanding the emotions, not understanding what ignorance is, what knowledge is. Our interest is only understanding how reality is non-dual, and this non-duality alone is absolutely real. Duality is not real. That already has been understood and established in this previous section itself. We should not forget that. Our aim here. Okay. So, vaiseshikadayaha ye icchadeha atmasamavayanaha iti tadapi asat. That is also not correct means, but where is the connection? Atma has no connection with any attribute. Atma by its mere presence, mere existence lends existence to the attribute. Every attribute enjoys its existence in the Atma. Every attribute enjoys existence in the Atma. Therefore, there is no connection. Again, even samskaras, let me take you one by one. The samskaraha, the mental impressions. Is it clear now? I'm just going back and explaining because it's very subtle teaching here. Very, very important. Samskaraha means mental impressions. Mental impressions, without mental impressions, we cannot have something called a memory. Smritihi, smaranam, memory presupposes having or accumulation of samskaraha, inexplicable subtle mental impressions. Impressions you can have only if you had experience, isn't it? All our experiences, what we have, they contribute for the samskaras, mental impressions, and those mental impressions have to really get stored as memories. So what here Acharya says, there is no connection whatsoever possible. There is no connection at all for the Atma, because Atma is apradeshavan. I like that word expression, apradeshavan. Apradeshavati Atmani asamavayaha. This non-connection of the Atma with any of this mind, even for samskaras, Atma has no connection with samskaras also. Because many people think, oh, the samskaras, where do the samskaras exist? Very subtle teaching, isn't it? Do you remember this? Where do samskaras get stored? Even Atma has no connection to samskara also. That's very important. We think, even samskara also is part of the matter only. You have to imagine that. Therefore, Atmani, apradeshavati Atmani asamavaya, this non-connection of anything with the Atma, which is a non-locus, of even the mental impressions which cause the memory. Therefore, what we say now, Atmanaha Sanyogat Cha Smriti Utpattehe Smriti Niyama Anupapattihi. Even there is impossibility of even having the proper rule pertaining to the memory. If we accept it, if we accept, then the Atma has connection with the mind. If Atma is the, Atma has connection, all memories will happen what now? Simultaneously. If really Atma has connection with the mind, all memories will have the simultaneous of all memories. If Atma really, real connection is there. There's no real connection. That's why when your memory comes, my memory does not come. My memory comes, his memory does not come. So simultaneous rising of all memories is not possible, doesn't happen, because Atma has no connection with the memory. That is that very important. He wants to say that Atma is asamavayi. Atma has no inherent relationship with anything. Atma is not a locus also. Here he doesn't say that actually. What it apradeshavan Atma means, Atma has no parts, no limbs, nothing for it to have anything. Even if it's a mind, it becomes a part, subtle part. So Atma is of entirely different nature. It has no connection with the mind. Okay, let me see next one. So Bhinna Jatiyanam Sparshadihinanam Atmanam Mana Adibihi Sambandaha Na Yuktaha Nacha Dravyad Rupadayaha Gunaha Karma Samanya Visesha Samavayaha Va Bhinnaha Santi Paresham. So further, what he says, the substance and their attributes. See the second line I'm reading now. Dravyad Rupadayaha. And the 400. There, the second line I'm reading. The last paragraph, second line I'm reading. Dravyad Rupadayaha Gunaha. So substance and their attributes. What such substance and their attributes, such as what? Form, color, etc. All of them. And also, gunaha. Gunaha. Rupadeha gunaha. Then, karma samanya visesha samavayaha. Karma samanya visesha samavayaha means, and other categories such as activity, and also the common attributes and the special attributes, for all of them are different according to others. Others means Advaitins. All of them are different according to Advaitins. What is different according to Advaitins? They're non-different actually. They're all not different according to Advaitins. They're all related, interrelated. See, they connect, this is different, that such difference is not there. So, dravyad rupadeha gunaha, karma samani visesha samavayaha va, bhinnaha न भिन्नाः सन्ति परेषाम्. सो परेषाम् means for other people, for Advaitins, all these different categories, the substances, the attributes, such as the color form, etc., even the actions, they're all not different. Got it? Yadihi san, yadihi atyanta bhinnaha eva dravyat syuhu. Icchadayah cha atmanaha tatacha sati dravyena tesham sambandha anupapattihi. What he says, none of these are different according to Advaitins, but these Vaisheshikas look at everything as different, and if they are different, if absolutely they are different, what he says, atyanta binnaha eva dravyat syuhu, even all these actions, etc., syuhu, atmanah tathasati dravyena tesham sambandha anupapattihi. Then they cannot be said to be dissimilar categories. So what he wants to say here is the very first thing, very first problem with the Vaisheshika is taking the inert matter as Atma. Inert matter is taken as the Atma. From there everything is wrong. Inert matter is taken as the Atma means there is no way of establishing or proving how the experience happens. Experience is not possible. Atma experiences. How can you say? Atma experience is there. Oh, there's icha, there's desire is there. There is anger, emotions are there, attributes are there. On what basis can we establish these, even all these pairs of opposites, attributes? Attributes themselves can be, you can talk about the attributes only if there is experience. Without having the experience, you can talk about the pairs of opposites. And the experience must be there means, and the experience is not possible for mere inert matter. They have to bring in the consciousness, but they don't bring in at all. They discuss very little about knowledge much later. Which means, for them, knowledge also is one of the attributes of the Atma. Means, so inert Atma has knowledge as one of the attributes. All these emotions are attributes. Desire is attribute. Likes and dislikes are attributes. And anger is attribute. Sukha-dukha, pain and pleasure are attributes. All these are attributes. So every subtle experience, object experience in the mind is looked upon as the attribute of the Atma, because Atma is in it. And for that attribute to rise also, Atma has to be in connection with the mind. How Atma can come together with the mind? How that mind and Atma come together? Coming together means what? No explanation for that. Mind coming together with the Atma. There's no explanation for that. Simply it is said, mind and Atma come together, then attributes rise. Attributes rise in the Atma. Okay. I have not gone to this portion actually. I'm just explaining this before. To take you to this, what is said here, I have to explain this before. How it is not explained. There's no explanation, there's no answer for many of these things. If you simply say, is attribute. They're all attributes. Gunaha. Okay, dravyaha. Dravyani, fine. Substances. And substances, gunas, all these attributes exist in where? Substances. Actions are associated with the substances. The third category. The fourth category, all other rest of the categories are connected to what? This. All are matter only. Where is the word consciousness? Where is the mention of consciousness? Where is the mention of even knowledge? No mention of knowledge anywhere. Only when we talk about this Iccha Deha, the desire, etc., there it is assumed knowledge of things also. Something called knowledge is what now only attribute. And that's why we are going to understand the two types of knowledge means. They talk about the knowledge in the form of experience of the object. And they talk about knowledge in the form of experience of the object, knowledge in the form of the memory of the object. If I remember the object, that is knowledge. Without knowledge, I can't remember the object. So knowledge of remembering the object, remembering also a form of knowledge. And experiencing is also, oh, this is wall. Experiencing the object also is a form of knowledge. And this knowledge, which is in the form of remembering or in the form of memory, is only an attribute. What is the Atma? What is the Atma here? Atma is just, they can say, okay, again mind is also anu, paramanu for them. Mind also is subtle paramanu, it's a matter. So which means there's no proper answer for many of these things. So without these answer, proper answer for these things, and then if we say, simply if it is said, okay, attribute of the Atma. Knowledge is attribute of the Atma, desire is attribute of the Atma, means that view of Vaisheshikas does not hold good. That's what he means first. Having said that one line he further explains in the rest of the commentary. The whole rest of the commentary. If we do not know what the word samavayaha means, we can't understand what is samavayi. In the Bhasham, Shankara Bhagavatpada has used the term samavayi. Isn't it? So samavayaha means we should know it is inherent relationship, connection. So samavayi means that which has inherent connection. So Atma is asamavayi. Atma is asamavayi. Atma is not samavayi. Even if you say, no, for the matter is Atma, so what? We can say that. But here, Atma is asamavayi. If Atma is asamavayi, Atma has no inherent connection, then how can we say, talk about these all these attributes rise in Atma, become generated in Atma, exist in Atma? Of course, in the presence of the Atma, they all rise. In the presence of Atma, thoughts come. What do Advaita Darshanam we say? In the presence of the Atma, thoughts rise, thoughts exist, thoughts resolve. But they say, all these are in the Atma. So, where is the Atma? Asamavayi. And Atma is apradeshavan. Atma is not the locus, a non-locus. To be a locus, Atma must have some parts. Atma must have some parts, or Atma must have some limbs. Then we can say, Atma is a locus and Atma has some connection. They all get generated in the Atma. Therefore, the first itself he explains, it is not possible. Then there's a situation arises. Atma must be connected to the mind. Atma must be connected to the samskaras. Atma must be connected to the memory. So connecting all these things to the Atma is also not correct. This is what he says in the very first two lines itself. So the rest we'll come back and see. It's okay? Have we clarified this? See, the whole Bhashyam we'll come back and see again. We'll see it. I'll explain this to you again. At least the one line you understood today, the first line of the Bhashyam. The rest of the Bhashyam I'll come back and explain to you. Because having heard about Sankhya, the same day if you study Vaisheshika, it will be confusing. We only completed Sankhya, and basically we started. At least a few things you know what is Sankhya's outline of the Sankhya system, Vaisheshika system we understood. And from there you can, what he means, some more technical terms I clarify it for you, then I can, it will be easy for me to tell you. Because what, if I say something in your mind, thinking, and then you can't really get it because the Sanskrit words also you need to understand. Sometimes you may think, why should Shankar Bhagavatpada bring into, why can't just he teach himself? Isn't it much easier? That's true. But here, those days, even today, we have modern scientists. If we have to prove, we have to explain why, isn't it? Only then our clarity becomes strong. Is it firm clarity? If our, there should not be no ambiguity, no doubt. It will be very clear. So, Shankara Bhagavatpada assumes that we already know. Assuming lot of things we would have questioned, he is just presenting his Bhashyam. So we must have questioned, how is it possible for the so-called inert Atma to come in association with the mind? And how two inert factors coming together can contribute for the generation of attributes? Generation or bring into existence something means two inert things can combine. How can they come together? These are the questions we are expected to think already. So, assuming our standard to be of less, so Shankara Bhagavata, he presents his teaching. That is why a lot of things will not get clear. Okay. What we'll do, we'll come back and see this Vaisheshika Bhashyam, the last paragraph. Again, I clarify it tomorrow. It's all right. Every day I come thinking I must cover this much, but I go back without covering that much. It's okay. And then you're most welcome to ask any questions if you have. Definitely I'll clarify your doubts. I have no problem at all. But I request you to present your questions towards the end of the class. Okay? And I don't want to be rude not to answer your questions. Or sometimes I never reject, never ignore. I'm very conscious of answering all your questions. Sometimes what happens, out of enthusiasm we do ask, but the question goes out of the track. I mean, something outside of subject matter also, I have to bring you back. Because every one of you here is new here, is it? In the sense, all of us are focusing on something. So we don't get distracted. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.